Turn to John chapter 1 in our Bibles. John chapter 1. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, God, for allowing us to be here, Lord. God, we pray that you bless the time that we spend in your word, Lord, and pray that you'll open our eyes to it, God, soften our hearts, open our ears, Lord. Pray that just keep the distractions down. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this place, Lord. I know we're exposing the devil for his tricks and how he operates, Lord. He doesn't appreciate that, God, and I know there can be retaliation for it, Lord. And we pray that you just put a hedge of protection about us. Be with the kids while they're in their class. Be with Miss Kathy, Miss Becky as they're teaching them the word of God, Lord, how to be little soldiers, God. And pray that you bless them, bless that class, Lord, and just be with those that couldn't make it tonight, Lord, those that might be watching online or might hear it later, Lord. Just be a blessing to them also. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to continue with the study of the King James Bible. Now, on Sunday, during Sunday school, we went through a bunch of stuff and talked about, I think, in last Wednesday also, we've been talking about how the devil appears as an angel of light. And a lot of times, and we went through some stories. This one specifically, I think, was in the 1940s, I believe, 1946 in Germany, when the young lady, she was 12 years old, saw what was called the mediatrix of all graces. She saw an apparition, saw this appearance of a light, and they said it was an appearance of Mary, and it happened three times, a month apart each time, and we went through some of the prayers and things that the mediatrix of all graces, the instructions that she gave, that she requires sacrifice, she requires prayers to her, it's you need to do her will, and all that stuff, it does not line up with what the Bible says, all right? I truly believe that little girl saw something. She saw an appearance. I believe she saw a bright light. I believe she saw what she thought to be Mary. But what we're going to see is, and what we have been looking at is this light is, you know, the devil can appear as an angel of light. And that's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ is light. He's the light of the world. We're going to look at a bunch of verses this evening. But I want you to, we're going to pick it up in John chapter 1. But we know the devil is, he's a great deceiver, but he's also the great imitator, right? He is going to try to be as much like Jesus Christ as he possibly can, just enough deceitfulness to get someone to follow him and to take them to hell. And if they're saved and they start following them, going in that wrong direction, to ruin their testimony and to keep them from reproducing, all right, or to growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's a great imitator. When you study this guy out, when you study him out throughout the Bible, there's just so much that stands out. He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. They're both called a prince. They're both called a lion. Right? Jesus Christ is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And the devil is seeking people he can devour. He's roaming about like a lion. Right? There's so many different things. Well, in Ezekiel 28, we're going to get there, but he's called, let's look at that one real quick. Hold your place in John. But in Ezekiel 28, we're going to look at some of this in a little bit, but we're going to look down at, let's see, verse number, Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, where it's talking about Lucifer. There it is. You know what he's called in verse 19? It says, "But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch." You ever read about the righteous branch? Read about the branch? All throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that thing pop up many times. And specifically, it'll show up more than four times, but there's four times in there that'll match the four Gospels. Remember, we talked about how Matthew presents the Lord Jesus Christ as King, King of Israel, right? You'll see in Mark, it presents Jesus Christ as a servant. Luke presents him as a man, and John presents him as the Son of God. And you'll find those four times, those four branches, match those four presentations of the Lord. It's amazing. But he's called the branch. Well, over there in Ezekiel, he's called an abominable, in Isaiah, the Lucifer, right? Satan is called an abominable branch. I mean, it's not by coincidence. All right, so let's look at John chapter 1, and we're going to look at some of these things, how the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was involved in creation. It was made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. You see that capital L right there? All right, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. But we've been studying, we've seen that, and we'll get a little bit deeper tonight, is with this New Age movement, this esoteric movement, the light, it means something else to them. They see Lucifer as the light, as the bright morning star. But Jesus Christ, talking about John the Baptist in verse number 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. All right, so right there in John chapter 1, that takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. All right, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. We see that He is called the light. All right, so let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. All right, so in the first day we see that God said, let there be light, and there was light. And what you need to take note of is that light right there is not the sun. Right? It's not the sun, it's not the stars. That light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down in verse number 15. I'll show you where this light, I'll show you how it's not the sun, right? It can't be the S-U-N, it's the S-O-N in the first five verses, because in verse 15 it says, let them, or verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So it wasn't until the fourth day that God created the sun, the stars, the moon, right? That light. Well, where does that light come from then on the first day? Well, it has to be the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the light. He's the light of the world. All right, let's look at John chapter number 8. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Chapter 9, verse number 5. The Lord Jesus Christ said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. All right? So he came and gave this dark world light. All right? He came and gave us spiritual light. He still gives us spiritual light. He's gone. He's ascended up into heaven. Now we have his word that gives us light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's look at John chapter 3. I skipped over that one. Go to John 3. John 3:16 is the most famous Bible verse there is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Right. See how the Lord Jesus Christ is connected with light? We talked about, I preached Sunday afternoon on Paul and his conversion when he was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, and when he appeared to him, what did he say? I saw a great light. All right, so we see that the Lord, let's go to John chapter number 12, we see the Lord is connected with light. He is the light of the world. So what the devil's going to want to do is try to imitate that light, right? He wants to appear as light because people see throughout the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ is connected with light. He's the light of the world. So when I saw a bright light, it had to be the Lord, right? Not necessarily. We're going to get there. You'll see. All right, John chapter number 12, look at verse number 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye might be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. So he says to believe in the light so you can be the children of light. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse number 4. But ye brethren, all right, he's talking to saved people, ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. All right, so let's look at this one too. 2 Samuel 22. Verse number 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Why? Because he is light. All right? There's no darkness in him. He is light. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's the thing. Most people don't want anything to do with the devil. Right? Most people, saved or lost, don't want anything to do with the devil. They think, you know, they see the devil as pure evil, and he is. And they think when he appears, it would be like in the movies, right? I mean, he is just this demonic, ugly, just gnarly-looking, just beast, right? And if that were the case, everyone would run from him every time they saw him. And he knows that. So he disguises himself, All right, he can change his form. We talked about that. He has the ability to transform. So let's look at, we're in 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse number 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So we know that there's people out there that look like apostles. They look like they're working for the Lord, but they're deceitful, they're false, and they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And they are doing the devil's work in the name of Christ. Know any religions that do that? Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Why? Because when people see light, they automatically think God. They automatically think Christ. Not realizing that the devil can also transform himself and appear as an angel of light. To do what? To deceive? You know, you think about, you know, there is demonic possession, right? There people can be possessed by devils, right? We see it all throughout the Bible. You see it all over the place. It can still happen today. And, you know, years ago, they made a movie about it, right? The Exorcist, right? Well, did that really take place? Some, of course, the girl's head didn't spin all the way around, but, you know, there was some crazy stuff that took place. And what happened? A Catholic priest comes in there and starts sprinkling holy water, and the power of Christ will compels thee and is able to cast out devils. What is that? That's the devil appearing as an angel of light. Right, we read about one of these stories how this little girl saw this ugly, right? She said it was just this ugly, ugly thing, and then all of a sudden a bright light appeared, and it was this beautiful woman. It was Mary that appeared before. That ugly, ugly thing was the devil, and then he transformed himself into an angel of light. Still the devil, but it looks like, here I come to save the day. All right, he comes in there looking like a superhero, looking like God. So when he transforms himself into an angel of light, it's to deceive people. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. All right. So it's not a strange thing. It's just, this happens. The devil appears as an angel of light. His workers seem to be good. You know, you've studied the life and the ministry of Mother Teresa. And she did some good things, some good humanitarian things, right? She gave her life to try to help people. But if she never trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, she's burned in hell. And if, I mean, by all accounts, I mean, she was a pretty good Catholic, so she was probably lost and was a minister of the devil because she's promoting that gospel, all right, and not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the death, burial, and resurrection like Paul preaches it in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 1. So Paul's going to give a warning here to the Galatians. He says in verse number 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. See, look, they got saved by grace through faith just like everyone else, like we do today, but someone came in and started to deceive them, started to tell them they had to keep the commandments and had to keep the law to stay saved or to be saved. And he goes, Paul's saying, look, I'm surprised. I'm taken back of how quickly you've been pulled away to another gospel, he says. Verse 7, which is not another, because there's only one gospel that can save you, right? It's not another gospel, like in the sense that it's another gospel, but it's a false gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What do you mean pervert it? Like saying you have to keep the sacraments, like you have to go to confession, like you have to be baptized. Right, that's how people pervert the gospel. To say, you know, you can get to heaven by good works or just following the golden rule. Treat people how you want to be treated, and, you know, if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you're good. That's perverting the gospel. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Why would he put that in there? Why would an angel preach another gospel? Unless it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15, or verse 14, that the devil appears as an angel of light and is preaching another gospel. He says, let him be accursed. Amen. Let's look at, so I started to do some research on this. This is very interesting to me. Look at Job 41. So I started to look at some of these major places in the Bible where the devil shows up, where the Antichrist shows up. And I find very interesting what I found in these passages. All right, we're talking about the devil showing up and appearing as an angel of light, right? In Job chapter 41, verse 1, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? All right, Leviathan. Well, who's Leviathan? Hold your spot there and don't leave Job 41, but look at Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27, verse number 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. All right, so who's Leviathan? He's that crooked serpent. He's the dragon. Well, what dragon is that? Look at Revelation chapter 12. That crooked serpent. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, back there in Job 41, we're talking about Leviathan. We're talking about the devil. This whole chapter is an insight and a description of the devil, the Antichrist, right? Now, verse 15 says, his scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. Well, what do you mean his scales? Well, when we read about Lucifer, when we read about him in Ezekiel 28, you know, and it says that his coverings were all these precious stones. Well, if you put a bunch of precious stones together, it kind of looks like scales, doesn't it? And his scales are his pride. What caused him to be cast out of heaven? His pride. Now, this is what's interesting to me. Look it down in verse number. You want to guess what verse we're going to go to? 18. 666. All right? By his sneezings. All right? That's his sneezings, right? His breathing out. By his sneezings, a light doth shine. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. All right? We're talking about the devil showing up as an angel of light. He's a fire-breathing dragon. With it, by his sneezings, light doth shine. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, more light, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, and out of as out of a seething pot or cauldron, his breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. This fire-breathing dragon has a light that's associated with him. So this angel, he can appear as an angel of light. He's got, it said his sneezings, by his sneezings a light does shine. He's got some light. All right, let's look at Isaiah 14. We've looked at this one several times throughout this study. Isaiah 14 is the fall of Lucifer, not the fall of the morning star. Verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Thou didst weaken the nations. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's light, isn't it? Don't those stars bring forth light? He's going to exalt his light above God's light, those stars there. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Well, where's the sun and the stars? It's above the clouds. See, he has light. He can appear as an angel of light. So that when these people see this bright light, doesn't mean it's the Lord. Right? They're seeing something. Let's look at Ezekiel 28. Very interesting. You're seeing light associated with the devil when he shows up in the Bible. See, people don't read their Bibles. So when they see, okay, there's two lights here, which one's the right one? Better go by what this book says. Ezekiel 28, verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mouth of God, out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. There it is again. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. It's amazing, isn't it? You didn't realize that light's associated with the devil, did you? Now let's look at Ephesians chapter number 5. See, when Paul saw the light, what he had, who art thou, Lord? He said, it's I, Jesus. It's, you know, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. All right. He didn't say, you need to follow my will. He didn't appear as a woman. All right. He didn't appear as Mary. It was the Lord that appeared to him. Didn't tell him to do anything that was contrary to the word of God. In Ephesians chapter number 5, look at verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. All right? He's talking to us. All right? We were darkness. We were lost. Now we're saved. I once was blind, but now I see. All right? Blindness being darkness. If you can see, it's because there's light. All right? Verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. All right, and you notice it says the fruit of the Spirit in verse 9. We also know in Galatians chapter 5, it gives us the 9 fruits of the Spirit. All right, now I want you to take note of that fruit of the Spirit because the new versions, every single one of them, change it. The New King James will say the fruit of the Spirit, but they put an asterisk there. But all the other ones, you know what they say? The fruit of the light. And it's a lowercase L. That's one thing you'll see. This is a capital S. It's a spirit, right? Whenever they talk about the light, you know what they'll do? I might even have it on the back of that board. There might be, I don't know if it's on that one or if I did it before, but you'll see the light instead of he, I think there was a couple of them, but it was capitalized. They don't capitalize that one. They just keep it lowercase. Okay, the fruit of the light. So we talked about that. Mariolaters and Muslims are now seeing the same luminous something. This is quite telling since Lucifer is a Latin word meaning light bearer. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 refers to his transformation into an angel of light. There is no word more widely used among New Agers and ancient occultists than light. Benjamin Krem boasts that Maitreya says, quote, my army of light shall see light. He calls his followers to visualize white light during meditation. Elizabeth Clare, prophet, talks about, quote, light from the presence. New Age magazines report on a group called the Light and the Sons of Light. Having seen a vision of a light is an accompanying feature of New Age consciousness, reports the Aquarian Conspiracy. The Holy Spirit is leading Christians, but the light is driving the New Age. As Christians, our power for living a life pleasing to God comes from the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and Ephesians 5:9 enumerate the fruit of the Spirit. Christians are instructed not to quench the Spirit, that we may bear the fruit of the Spirit. New Agers tell us they are, quote, instructed in the development of the light. All right. Well, which light? It's not like our light. Again, new versions follow new corrupt manuscripts, instruct their readers to join the ranks of New Age, calling for the fruit of the light, not the fruit of the Spirit. Even the testimony of Scripture itself in Galatians 5:22 confirms that it is the fruit of the Spirit. See, they don't change both of them, they only change one of them. In occult initiation, the initiate often sees a light which is transformed into an image. Thousands are now seeing this sequence in the most recent apparitions of the Virgin. Viewers describe such visions as being announced with a floodlight. Carol has observed this phenomena of light preceding apparitions so often that he reserved a portion of his book to what he, as a non-believer in the spiritual world, calls, quote, hallucinations preceded by illusions. Spectators of the visions of the virgins report, in Egypt, they said, I saw a light. In Ireland, a bright light. In Portugal, radiated a brilliant light. La Salette came upon a brilliant light. In Belgium, saw a white light about the size of a human. In Yugoslavia, a very bright light. In Mexico, saw a brilliant light. All right, so you see these apparitions, these visions they're seeing. They're seeing something. There's no doubt in my mind. They're not just making this stuff up. But they're seeing a light. So there's a chart here, but I'll just read you some of the quotes from it. It shows us how lights and visions moved from all the way from back in Mystery Babylon to the Greek world, a few Greek New Testament manuscripts, to the revival of Mystery Babylon by New Agers and apostate Christianity. So, in Mystery Babylon, this is a quote, it says, in a manifestation which one must not reveal, there is seen on the wall of the temple a mass of light, which appears first at a very great distance. It is transformed while unfolding itself. Into a visage evidently divine and supernatural. Egypt, this comes from Wilkinson's Manner and Customs of Egypt. Strange and amazing objects presented themselves. Sometimes it appeared bright and resplendent with light and fire. Sometimes apparitions astonished the trembling spectator. In Greece, this is from Plato, being initiated in those mysteries in consequence of the divine initiator, we become spectators of entire simple, immovable, and blessed visions resident in light. This is Westcott's Religious Thought in the West. So this is from Westcott. And then the truly initiated is able to rise above the world of sense and thought, inherent communion with a divine and supersensuous world. In the New Age, this is from Jack Hodson, the very highest attainment possible to man on this earth is to take the ninth initiation of the one initiator, sometimes called the Lord of this world, Sanat, which is Satan, right? S-A-N-A-T, it's just the letters mixed up, the ever virgin. Now, this is astonishing here. Look at, go to Acts chapter 22. This thing. So Acts 22, Paul is given a testimony about his conversion. All right, and in verse number 6, he says, "It came to pass that I was made, as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus." I tell you that to show you what the New American Standard does. They say in verse 6, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven, right? That matches. That's not so egregious. But it says, where Paul says, let's see. I don't see. I don't think they messed something up here, but it's they change it to, but I did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me, and they capitalized the O there, the one. So what light is he seeing? Who was speaking to me? I could not see because of the brightness of the light. Well, he doesn't say that. He says, I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand. So right here, they completely change. They say the bright light. All right, he says they're shown a great light. So now the great light is different than the bright light, obviously. But then the one, they mentioned the one and the light mentioned together there in the New American Standard. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The New American Standard Bible completely removes three critical words in that passage, too. Paul says, and they were afraid, right? And that's in verse number 9. Now, this distinguishes visions from God and visions from visions of the angel of light. The words, and were afraid, accompany truly heavenly visions throughout the Bible, like in Luke 2:9. Luke 24:5, John 6:19, Daniel 8:17, Revelation 1:17. So let's look at one of those. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. It's a good thing to fear the Lord, right? So when we see these appearances of this light, right? When they see the right light, when they see the Lord, they're sorely afraid or great. They were afraid, right? Now, they removed that from Acts chapter 22, right? Well, what's the big deal? Well, they're trying to keep people from being afraid of seeing the other light. They don't want them to be afraid when the devil shows up. The devil takes that out. Hollywood is preparing its patrons not to be afraid of these bright lights with movies such as Close Encounters. Movies like E.T. desensitize viewers to the ugly, horribly ugly creature described by Mirjana Dragicevich. It seems Slovenian Satan can produce bright lights, but the glory of God is beyond anything special effects artists can produce using 500-watt elliptical reflectors, Fresnel lenses, or computer-generated imagery. So when the Lord shows up, people get scared. But when the devil shows up, he doesn't want to scare them. He wants them to embrace him. So that's what he does. He's going to appear as a light, and it's a friendly light to them. Now, one of the other things that we'll see that these new versions do, they promote the light, the wrong light, but then they're also going to water down idol worship. Right? I mean, idol worship is again, something Catholics do. They say they don't, but when you bow down to something and pray to it, that's worship. So in direct opposition to the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, new versions are carving a platform to support the idol worship that will fill the globe during the tribulation when they worship the image of the beast. All right, when you go through Revelation, you'll see that that's going to be coming back around big time, idol worship. It talks about their craft, right? That's their carbon images again. Not that they've never stopped, but it's going to be more prevalent in the tribulation than it is even today. Look at Revelation 9 real quick. I'll show you that. Revelation 9. Verse number 20. See, it says, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. All right, so there's the Great Tribulation. It's just one of the most insane things that you couldn't even imagine it. I mean, there's creatures coming out of the ground that have the hair like a woman and the face like a lion, and teeth like a lion, and tails like scorpions, locusts that are flying around stinging people. Men want to die and they can't die, and I mean, just craziness. And God pours all these plagues upon them. And you would think, after all something like that would happen, that, okay, yeah, let's get our hearts right. But it says, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, and which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders or of their sorceries or of their fornication or of their thefts. So all that God pours out is wrath upon them, and they still don't repent. But we see there that part of it's idol worship. Now, in the upside-down world of recent versions, the Apostle Paul's harsh rebuke to the idol worshipers becomes a hearty compliment. Here, as in many other places, the New King James Version bows down to the idol of false religion. Let's look at Acts 17. Because this is, let's see. Yeah, this is a good one. Acts 17. Acts 17 and verse number 21, let's see. Verse 19, for some context. And they took him and brought him, that's talking about Paul, unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear of some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So Paul said, look, you guys are messed up. You're too superstitious. All right? Superstitious is a silly thing. It's something, you do the same thing over and over because you're afraid it's going to change a result or something. Baseball players are terrible for superstitions. I think hockey players are pretty superstitious too. But they'll go through the same kind of rituals, I don't know if anyone remembers Nomar Garciaparra. He used to play for the Red Sox back in the day. He was a shortstop. But he would get up there, and after every pitch, he'd step out. He'd do this thing with his batting gloves. He'd take them off, put them on, take them off, put them on both sides after every pitch. And it was just like an OCD thing, but it was a superstitious thing too. It's silly, all right? Well, superstitious is what's in the King James Bible, and then all your other versions will say, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. So they have an unknown God that they're worshiping, and he's telling them they're very religious. Well, to the world, very religious is a good thing. If you're very religious, then you're on your way to heaven, right? Not according to the Bible. So we'll see that these newer versions, they promote idol worship, all right? They don't condemn it as like the King James does. Hindus deny the existence of idols. They assert that their murti, I don't know how to say that, is merely an expression and an extension of the God immanent in the creation. So they're saying, look, we have this idol. It's not an idol, but it's an actual, it's an expression or an extension of our God. Okay. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. First Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 4. Paul says, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. So look, they might sacrifice to the idols, but the idols are nothing. It's a piece of wood covered in gold. It's a piece of stone. It's nothing in and of itself. It's nothing. All right? Well, the new this is the New American Standard, the 1995 edition, because the other, they've updated and they've changed it, but they had changed it at one point to say, there is no such thing as an idol. Good Catholic Bible there. There's no such thing as an idol. Now, the Catholic, this is Alan Schreck. He said, again, this is the incarnational principle at work. God works through statues and images, which lines up with this apostate Robert Wise. He says, although the Jewish point of view forbids the making, although the Jewish point of view forbids the making of images of God, it doesn't grasp the whole meaning of the incarnation. Images and symbols all flow together as equal parts of the process by which God and humanity communicate with each other. So statues are okay. These images, they're okay because it's how God communicates with us, and that's how we communicate with Him. Bibles which applaud visions and idols are breeding Christians who bravo both Robert Wise, who's a Reformed pastor and editor of The Church Divided, tells its readers to set up idols in their hearts or in their homes in this chapter entitled Praying with Symbols and Images. Sounding exactly like a Hindu defending his murti, both Wise and Catholic author Alan Schreck excuse their idolatry, citing Westcott's incarnational principle, which asserts that Christ is now immanent in the creation. Now, the command not to make an image of anything, even that is in heaven, is ignored by new Greek editor B.F. Westcott. Quote, he could have knelt there for hours. Remember, we talked about that when he was at that little that little Catholic church, he saw the statue. He said he could have knelt there for hours if everyone wasn't there. His biographer reports a statue of the Pietà. Virgin visions likewise promote the use of such statues. The horribly ugly turned lovely lady told onlookers in Yugoslavia, quote, it is important to have a statue. What was that? An image of the Virgin that showed up? In Yugoslavia, so you need to have statues, you need to have idols. What manner of spirit? All right. These misdirected versions and visionaries are directing people away from God's direct and explicit means of communication, the Bible, to the devil's indirect and implicit means of corruption, the mark and the image of the beast. So, again, just more evidence of the devil being highly involved in those new versions, those New Age Bible versions, those perversions. Again, I cannot just stress or just reiterate enough that as much as this Bible, this King James Bible, was given of inspiration by God, those other versions, all 300 of them, 300 plus, are given of inspiration by the God of this world. The Holy Spirit move men to speak here, and an unholy spirit moved those men to write those other books. To put all that New Age stuff, all that just devil worship in those other versions, and Christians just eat it up. They have no idea. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and close it there. Brother Matt, could you close us in prayer?